Yo, Luke here. If you've followed Lion Loft over the years, you know we love a good golf marathon, especially when it's for a great cause. On October 5th, three of us at L&L carried our bags for 30 miles, partaking and bogey taking, and the 100-hole hike, a yearly challenge to raise funds and awareness for Youth on Course. Youth on Course is an incredible organization we encourage you to check out. They are focused on making golf accessible and affordable for junior golfers. They partner with over 1,400 golf courses to offer rounds for $5 or less, a really powerful impact to growing our golf ecosystem and making it feel like home. You may be wondering, what is it like to walk 100 holes of golf? Well, to put it briefly, it is as physically and mentally demanding as you think. But dang, does it feel special to experience a golf course for an entire day. Waking up with the birds chirping, seeing dew lines form from putts of loops past, following the sun move across the horizon, all the while searching for perfection shot after shot, sending a white ball hurtling into the sky. For our 100-hole hike, we decided to make things interesting by placing a wager on the day. Last place scorer has to caddy for the other two at a course of their choosing, so every shot counts. We picked up the convo at Matt's house the morning after we completed the 100-hole hike, licking our wounds and recapping the day. You guys were here. You could see the pretty poor shape we're all in. Matt's got his leg propped up. His left knee is super jacked up and swollen a little bit. Your feet were swollen too. Joey, I saw you had some blisters on the back of your feet. Your knee is also swollen, it looks like. Talk to me about the shape you guys are in right now.
It's terrible. Just in really bad shape. Yeah, I mean, I think Matt and I are feeling pretty similar right about now. His feet look pretty similar to mine. I've got some bruises on them. Knee's in bad shape. And yeah, I didn't even actually notice the blisters. I literally didn't feel them at all until I got home and I took my shoes off. And I was like, oh.
Did you wear your same shoes all day, the Nikes, right?
I did, yeah. They're comfy. And like I said, I didn't even feel the blisters, and then I took off my socks last night, and I was like, didn't even know those were there.
How many steps did so what were the final stats on your Apple Watch?
The final numbers, let me pull that up here. Steps, we had 61,525 for a distance of 30.6 miles and 40 flights climbed. So some elevation change.
Ooh, I figure it'd be more with that hill doing it 11 times.
Yeah, I don't know what qualifies as a flight. I guess that's 11 steps.
I did do some Googling on what steps meant what flights climb meant. And there were some disgruntled Apple users who said that the flights weren't accurate. So not sure what it means either.
Yeah.
I think the biggest thing overall is the mileage. So we topped 30 miles. I was doing some research this morning, and a lot of ultra walkers that do long hikes and things typically are doing 25 to 30 miles in a day. And that's just walking, let alone playing golf. So it's a lot of repetition, a lot of movement. So Matt, what did you got home last night? What was the first thing you did?
I sat in the shower for probably 15 minutes, just sat there, gave it some heat. Like, my hot water heater gets up pretty hot, so I just turned that sucker on as hot as it could go and just sat there thinking about losing by two and like going through all this to freaking lose.
Yeah, so there was a match yesterday just to make it fun and keep our heads in it.
Which was enjoyable. I was thinking that on the later half, how if we didn't have a stroke play going, I probably would have shut down mentally and not have like pushed through probably. I mean, I probably would have, but like it wouldn't have been as interesting.
Yeah, I agree. It was extremely draining, but the competition and how close Matt and I, it's crazy though, through 100 holes we were two strokes apart.
Yeah.
Like that's a lot of,
I think at the end we did almost, yeah, like 490 strokes.
Matt, what's hurting the most right now for you?
Definitely the knee. Couldn't sleep that much last night. It's like the outer part of your knee. And I don't know what where the MCL or ACL is. I haven't had that injury, fortunately. But that thought did cross my mind, or like maybe hyperextension, or, you know, I'm right-handed, so it's my left knee. It's probably where I'm putting a lot of like force trying to whack a 3-iron. At first it was a 6-iron to keep up with you boys.
Yeah, I think the hardest part is going down. Like there's one hill out there after hole 7, and it's a pretty sharp downward trod to the next tee box, probably 50 yards away. One of those hills where you could roll down like elementary middle school style, barrel roll down or whatever.
Log roll.
Yeah. But I felt it. I live in a 3-story townhome, and I the bedroom's on the top floor. So this morning, those steps down the stairs, I thought I was about to fall. My knees locked up and wasn't pretty. That's when I definitely felt it the most, is going back down, mm-hmm. down something.
Yeah. Going down was,
oh yeah,
the last 3 rounds, probably at 7.
7, yeah. 7 going to 8, and then even just walking up that hill after 7 or 8 tee shot was like,
I could feel blisters, but I think I tied my shoes so tight that I was just like, I mean, there's nothing I can really do about it now. I put tape on it and you feel it burning, but after a while it kind of like subsides and you start feeling the other things.
Yeah. It's a lot to feel.
I think we probably learned a lot in terms of preparation and what it takes to walk 100 holes by doing this. And maybe from listening to this podcast, those of you out there who want to play 100 holes or do the 100 hole hike next year, we can give you some insight into what to expect. Obviously, you've heard that the next day you're going to be pretty sore and regardless of what kind of shape you're in. My neck going into it, I was a little nervous. I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to play or not. You know that feeling when you wake up and your neck's tweaked? That happened to me 2 days prior. So I was hurting pretty bad. Even on the car ride up, I told Matt I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to play. But luckily, my neck warmed up and that feels fine today. But
yeah. You should have saved your strength, because I remember you saying, I might not even get through hole 1, so I'll be the one carrying the bags or something like that. I'm like, oh, yeah? And then you were striping it.
Yeah. My shoulders, I woke up this morning, and I thought it was just sunburn, you know, like my neck. But I felt, and I look, and I have, like, red rashes on my shoulders from carrying the bag. And that was a big part of it. And then bending over to pick it up. Some advice would be, if you're taking, you know, we took Sunday bags, but almost in looking back would be nice to have some stands for that, so that we're not bending over and picking up our bags. You know, that adds up over the course of a day, bending over, standing up about 500 times.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And you had the stand bag.
I had a stand bag. Yeah. I want one of those putters that like just grabs it. I guess with the flag stick in, I don't know if they would work as well, but
the suction cup.
Yeah, they have like, you just put the grip in the hole and it pops the ball. Lee Westwood uses that still. Oh, yeah. And there's like a picture of him winning his last tournament. He's holding the putter and the ball is in the suction cup on the other end.
You should also get some iron covers to go with that.
Yeah, suction cup. Exactly. Hey man, I'm just trying to prep for 100 holes again.
Yeah, you don't want your irons rusting over the course of the day.
Yeah, exactly.
And the grips got wet whenever you laid your bag down. Like the bottom of my bag, 8 inches up, was just soaking wet.
Mine didn't.
Yeah, it's a lot of, there's a lot of like preparation on the tiny things that do add up for something like this. And you're literally on a golf course from the time the sun rises to the time the sun sets. And
I was nervous we weren't going to get it in. I mean, we still had like 3 holes to play at 6:40. And the sun set at
7:10-ish.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, we were cruising the first 50 holes. We were like, what, averaging like 50 minutes or something?
Yeah, so let's start with like the tee off, first balls in the air. It was around 6:50 a.m.
We started running early. I mean, at least I think we did. I don't think you ran early.
I did not run.
Yeah, maybe that's why we're paying the way we are right now. But yeah, we started running early, and I don't know, you just... first hole of the day, so you feel like you can run. And the last thing I read on the handout that they sent us was you should probably run your first 18 holes just to like get it out of the way. So that was like in my head when I hit that first tee ball, I was like, let's go
start jogging,
like, just let's run, let's go. So like we were cruising, obviously, because, you know, the pain hasn't set in yet. But I was kind of like, I kind of went in waves. Like the first 36 were pretty easy. And then after 36, like I could feel my feet starting to hurt a little bit. And I was like, this is not good. I'm a third of the way there and I'm already starting to hurt.
The first 18, we got done roughly 45, 50 minutes. And the second 18, or sorry, the second nine, very similar. And then, like you said, we just started to slow down a little bit every consecutive nine. Did you guys notice that on the golf side of things, how your game correlated with that?
Yeah, I didn't think about shots as much. It's just feeling, stepping up there and hit it, which you paid. I paid for it sometimes, but like not really dialing it in. But I liked getting up there and whacking. I don't take too many practice swings, or I'm a fast player in general. Yeah. So it was nice to kind of like see what I saw and trust it, whether it was the right line, right or not. But yeah,
it's interesting to see just how consistent like your game actually is, whether that's good or bad. I mean, like there was holes where I was in the same spot every single time. And it was just like, well, I had this shot last time and common sense would tell you you'd play it better each time, but you know, golf's not that kind of game. But I do think my chipping got better because I was putting everything from off the green and just, you have to whack it through the dew, obviously. And I just wasn't getting it there. And chipping's always been a low point in my game. So I always pull out the putter whenever I can. And I just finally grabbed the nine iron and just was bumping everything. And I mean, throughout 100 holes, you just eventually gain that feel. Chipping definitely improved, but I mean, score-wise is pretty, it's consistent. I mean,
yeah.
I think it was tougher conditions in the beginning of the day. That was one of the cool things, is playing the golf course for an entire day. You get to see how the golf course changes over the course of the day. And I'd say in the beginning, the first couple nine holes, it was pretty tough. You know, it was still dewy and wet, and the greens out there are fairly small, so you don't have, you know, you're going to have to hit a lot of short game shots and test your wedges early. And I think that's where we struggle the most. We were all pretty good off the tee, but around the greens, it was just really tough to score in the beginning.
Yeah, very much so. Like in the beginning, I mean, oh yeah, hole number, there were a couple of holes where you could tell the difference from the morning to the afternoon, even in the late evening of clubbing up maybe two from what you originally hit, or big swings and club choices. And some of those, you know, you didn't have, so you had to like go after the biggest one you got.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or the one that's around it.
So we played each hole roughly 10 times. Is that correct?
11 times. And we played number one 12 times.
That's right, 11 times. Let's walk through the course just so people listening can have an idea of the holes we played, and we can talk about some of the shots that we hit over the course of the day. So Green Hill Club is a 9-hole track. It's kind of diamond or triangle shaped, and the routing flows really well throughout the course. We did play the tips, which added some walking. A couple of the holes you have to walk backwards, or you know, walk to the next tee box past the reds and the yellows. But the course is super, I would say, approachable to the beginner golfer learning how to play. It's relatively flat, minus a couple spots. There's entryways into the greens, and it's kind of got a linksy feel out in the middle of the farmland. But it's also challenging for good golfers too. It has plenty of length in the areas it needs to. There's only one par five, so definitely it's a 3,000-yard course from the tips, but with only one par five, they do get you in other spots for that length. And then you're hitting into pretty tight greens, small greens that are definitely guarded in the right places with some hazards. And yeah, it's a fun little challenging yet gettable course. First hole, right off the bat, they do get you with a decently long par four, plays 425 yards from the tips. You guys were playing irons pretty much all day, and I was hitting a 3-wood off the tee, so I did have some advantage in length, but you guys still hit the fairway overall, and it puts you in good spots. Hole number one, what was your guys' mindset with that little dogleg right?
I should have looked at the scorecard beforehand.
That would have probably helped, yeah.
Well, I did text y'all what tees were playing to try and, you know, I was like, well, how do I prepare?
I thought we'd do like a mixture, but especially because of like the walks. But I mean, I was going in with my 3-iron being the longest club. One, because I hit, like, when I hit that good, like, it goes pretty, pretty far. And it's at a course like Green Hill, like, that's all you need. But after the first 50 holes, I went and grabbed a driver, put my 5-iron away because we were arguing and weren't getting along. And yeah, I mean, first hole though, like 3-iron, it worked, but you did have like a long way in just because it's kind of like that dogleg right. And my miss was just pretty much double crossing it right into the trees. So I would, you know, have a pretty long shot in. But once I got the driver, it shortened it up a little bit, but I was still in the left trees, just further into the left trees. Other than that, I mean, like, that's kind of a cool opening hole. You've got like a creek that runs down the center that doesn't really come into the play unless you really kind of pound a driver or for Luke a hybrid or something.
Or play, if you're playing the white tees as a decent golfer, decent length.
It'll come in.
Mm-hmm. But super tiny little creek that doesn't really have any water in it. So
yeah,
so right around the 150 yard marker.
Yeah. So it's a cool hole. Yeah. I mean, get up right off the bat. It's like the longest par four probably there.
It is the longest par four there.
Yeah. What's nine at? What's nine's length?
So the finishing hole is 360 yards.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That felt longer.
But that's uphill.
Yeah.
Whereas hole one is slightly downhill.
Yeah. But
it feels like it always plays a little shorter too. It's almost like the dog leg wasn't necessarily fully taken into account with the yardage, but or whether or not it's just downhill. But if you miss that green long, it can send it really far, almost into two tee box area.
Mm-hmm. Number one, I had a 6-iron was the highest club. So that's my 195 club. If I get some roll, you know, like 205. And so right off the bat, knowing that, what is it, 420 something, I couldn't get there in two. I kept coming up short, maybe like 15 yards. And then, like you say, trust your wedge game, which was not pretty in the beginning.
We all really struggled with our wedges. It was just, it was tough to get it going with dew right off the bat. Hole two, this is my favorite hole on the golf course. It's a shorter hole. It's plays 330. And all up the left side is pine trees. And there's like a little pine tree forest kind of at the 250 mark to the left, where it'd be a really cool spot to hang some hammocks and hang out and watch golfers go by. But right out in the middle of the left side of the fairway is this really cool looking ghost tree. And then as you're looking into the green, there's a couple washed out bunkers, one left of the green in front, and then one kind of guarding the right side of the fairway that look very Bandon-esque. The entire hole to me feels like I'm out of Bandon if I kind of visualize that the trees in the background dissolve away into the coast, but it's a really cool hole. I would say this should be the easiest hole on the course for us, but
that pin was brutal.
The trees on the right and the bunker, fairway bunker, like forces you to play toward the left set of trees. And if you pull it, like you're in the needles, or, you know, if you hit it straight, I mean, like you got to hit it straight or like a soft cut to shape it. So yeah, it closes in. It's a tough tee shot, I think, especially from the back. I mean,
yeah, you got to take your medicine and definitely play for accuracy off the tee. Actually, the second hole of the day, I pumped one right and it hit a tree and just kicked right out of bounds or whatever. Into the hazard right, and I go to try and find it and I lose it. So I drop one, try and punch it out of the tree line, hits a tree, bounces back right, lost that. So right away, back to back swings, lost two balls. Second hole of the day. I'm like, oh my gosh, it's gonna be one of those days. But I ended up finding a golf ball as I was looking for one of mine. That was the one that had the calves in scripture on it, and played that one the rest of the day until I had to swap it out because it was just wore down. And then it wasn't until the second to last hole that I lost my other golf ball. So hole two got me right off the bat, but then rewarded me with a golf ball to play. So
it's a tough green too, number two.
Yeah.
There's like a ridge running down the middle, and where it was placed was like right on at the bottom of the ridge on the other side of the bunker. So
right,
it really
over,
had to be.
Yeah, I mean, oh, that pin was brutal.
It was mean. There were a couple out there that were like
five and or two, and 8 was tough too, because that was kind of in the same sort of spot as 2. Like those greens are kind of similar in a way.
There was also 5, which was tucked behind that right bunker.
Side, yeah. They were tough. Damn it, Tim.
And number 6 across the road, you know, it was right there on the left side. I mean,
it's like the putt just.
Yeah, the pins were definitely putting some Sunday placements that hadn't been recut for Monday. We did see some putts pop out that probably should have stayed in with fresh cups, but that's all right. all right, so hole 3 is a straightaway up a hill. Par 4 plays 371 yards. Yeah, it's pretty straightforward in terms of off the tee and approach shot, but it does test 2 straight good shots. You got to hit a good drive, and then you got to hit around 160-yard club. If you miss it right, that's the entryway road, so there's some OB on the hole, and then miss it left, and it's in that big pine forest area. Mm-hmm. A lot of these holes, they do have pine trees that are kind of guiding the fairway, but still very wide and gettable. If you do end up hitting a draw or a cut and missing the fairway, missing the rough, you're going to be in the trees, mm-hmm. and always makes for some fun punt shots. That's where it can get you.
Yeah. Pretty straightforward hole, just straight up the hill. And I just kept pulling it left, and I think Matt was hanging out right, so we we had all the sides covered.
I hit one that looked like it was going to be really good, and it just flew, because that was the moment when I realized, okay, ball's flying a little bit longer. It's a little bit warmer. Or in the morning, like it would have been money, I think. It was right over the flag, and I hit an 8, and I pumped it, and it hit that tree and bounced back a little bit. I was like, man, that's right on it. Nope.
Yeah. Again, tiny little greens.
Yeah.
Make sure your irons in need to be fairly accurate. And then carrying that kind of concept over, the next hole, I think, is the hardest hole on the golf course. It's a par 3, basically a par 4, plays about 220. Says 210 on the card, but I think it's a little longer. And it looks pretty straightforward, but again, you're hitting into a small green that's guarded by traps on the left and the right. And then close to those would be the pine tree line kind of shaping the hole. And if you miss it any which way, you're going to have a definite test of a chip shot in, pitch shot in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was like the only hole not the only hole, but like like you said, every way you miss it, like left, right, long is tough. I think the only like decent way to put it, if you're not on the green, is like laying up. And that's kind of what I tried to do, but I kept yanking it. So then you have that bunker to deal with. And I have cement blocks for hands right now, so I was blading and chucking it everywhere.
I didn't hit that green at all in regulation. You, sir.
You put one.
I hit one to about 6 feet with a hybrid. It was one of those shots that just leaves the face and know exactly it's on a line to the pin.
Yeah, stayed on a rope.
The right number, right everything, and missed the birdie putt.
Can't wait till we get to 7.
Theme of the day.
Oh, yeah.
I kept wanting to go from 3 just straight to 6 and just play that loop. It's like the perimeter of the course almost.
Yeah, they have a 7-hole perimeter to loop. That's pretty cool.
I was, every time we finished 3, I was like, let's just go to 6. Like, it's right here.
It's natural. Right? Yeah. Let's just go.
Yeah.
4 is a bogey hole, you know?
Exactly. Yeah, 4 sucks. So.
And then, like, but then it does reward you with a drivable par 4, number 5. It wasn't drivable with the clubs that we had. We weren't hitting driver, but plays 280 uphill. And it's got 5 traps in the fairway, very much like the fairway of 16 at Lonnie Pool, except they're closer leading up to the green. Yeah, it runs from fairway to green bunkers.
That's one of the holes that I'd like, when I think of a beginner golfer, that they would just hate, because they're not going to get up to that green, really. If you can get your, like a 3-iron, even Matt's 6-iron gives you a wedge in there. So, and that was another tough pin we were just talking about, kind of tucked away on the right. So,
should be, you know, when you look at the length, the easy hole, but if, again, put some pressure on your short game, and none of us had a great wedge game, so that hole still got the best of us.
I think at one point I almost took like 9-iron off the tee just to
give yourself a full shot in.
Yeah, like a 9-iron in.
That was nice hitting that 6-iron because it was mostly 6-iron, 6-iron.
Yeah.
Doubling up on the club.
Yeah.
Hole 6. This one's a fun one.
The road.
The road hole. So the road into the clubhouse cuts across the fairway of this hole. There's also some power lines to go through, so that those sometimes come into play. But it's straight downhill, par 4, 376, to a green that's sloped front to back upwards. So it's this cool like V-shape effect as you're coming into the green. But some of a blind tee shot. It's kind of similar to 12 at Lonnie Pool, for those who have played out there, but more straight away.
Yeah, if you don't get it to the road, you can't see the green, and it's an uphill. It's just up and over. Mm-hmm. Hopefully you hit the green. You got to aim for, there's a large, would you call that a ghost tree too? Maybe it's not there yet.
Behind it, yeah.
Yeah.
That like big one, yeah.
That's your like marker for where the pin was.
Yeah, that was a tricky pin too.
Yeah, this whole play is tough. If you basically, you're in jail if you go left. You can't go left.
I was left all day.
Oh, it was comical. I mean, over there again, but like you said, like you just took it in stride because you've been there before.
Yeah, and like that's the thing with my driver too, is like I hate seeing the ball go left. That's when I like shit my pants. That's when I get scared. And I play that cut and it just, on that hole, it just never cuts. And it just dead straight.
And one time Matt's ball rolled up onto the road. It must have been the perfect speed of trickling on. It was right down the middle, flushed a 3-iron off the tee. And we walk up there and we can't see his ball. We're like, it should be right here in the middle. And we look down to the left. He sees his golf ball almost down by the putting green.
Yeah.
Completely blocked out to the hole after hitting a perfect drive. So that kind of sucked.
Yeah, I was like behind. And then I walked up and I see Matt like way over to the left. I was like, what are you doing over there?
That could have changed the match right there, that one little break.
Oh, man. You know what I wish I would have done? Was switch to a driver on the last 9 holes and just been aggressive.
Yeah.
We'll get to that.
The next hole was a low scoring hole for all of us. Matt, first time around, first 9, first swing on the hole.
Yeah, I didn't know what to hit. I hit a pitching wedge. And
it is 137 yards.
And beefy. It just floated. I mean, I hit the ball relatively high, I would say, especially when it's teed up on a wedge, but just, oh, it felt so good. And boom, I mean, what, 2 feet?
Talk us through the putt.
Really close shot. Yeah.
Talk us through the putt. And so this is 7 holes in. I mean, I'm a bad putter as is. Okay. Like you all may know this already, but I just am not consistent on my putting and having to like deal with the dew. And then whenever that course dries out, it's Championship Bermuda. So it's pretty quick. And so I don't know.
This is a slider too.
It was slit. Yeah, it was like a little right to left. Not a little, like a good portion. And it missed on the low side.
Because that green too is like has some pretty severe slope from the back to the front. And then, yeah, you were pin high, meaning that you've got this like 2-foot slider. And it was a brutal 2-footer. And then what, the next time around?
Literally the next time, yeah. I hit the same club and it was maybe a foot and a half below that.
You were below the hole this one.
Yeah, below, yeah.
It was straighter.
Yeah.
Tell us about that putt.
Okay, I was like, all right, I'm not going to make the same mistake again. And I maybe pushed it, but it just slid off to the right and just burned the right edge. And in my head, I'm like, you got to be freaking kidding me. I had a goal of 15 birdies. Yes, very lofty, but I figure maybe there's a chance.
Oh, man.
But I could have had 2 right there. 2 in the first, what?
18.
First 18, yeah.
That was disappointing. 15
birdies did not happen for Matt. Spoiler alert.
But I did have... Did you have 2?
Yes.
Okay. So we both had 2. Were you shut out today? yesterday?
I think I was, to be honest.
I think you were too. You had so many chances.
That's so sad. Yeah, I could, dude, I made probably one putt all day outside of like 6, 7, 8 feet, maybe.
I remember you made a pretty long par putt toward the end when I could have won that hole.
That was like, that's the only putt. That's the only putt I made all day. Yeah. But yeah, I burned a lot of edges and had a lot of chances at birdies, but it's pretty sad now that I think about it. 100 holes and didn't have one.
Yeah, it was a tough scoring day. It was really hard to score. And then you add in the fatigue and all that other stuff. So
the weather was perfect, though.
Couldn't have asked for a better day weather-wise.
Yeah.
It's like 70 degrees, sunny, not a cloud in the sky, no humidity. All right, so that was the par 3, 7th. There's a pool and a pool deck area that overlooks that green. That'd be a really dope little hangout area.
Like Stadium 16 vibes.
Yeah.
I did birdie that one with a long birdie putt, I will say. I made up that for the two short ones.
Yeah, you did. Mm-hmm.
So then it comes to a par 5, hole number 8. This is where you could barrel roll down the hill to get to the tee box. And then if you were following along on Instagram, the photos where there's the uphill climb, that was this hole where you have a blind tee shot over this hill to a downhill. There is a pond at the bottom right. It's not really reachable unless you're hitting driver. And again, none of us were hitting drivers. Clubhouse and pool is to the left. They do say, fun fact about this hole, that if there's ever a big storm, sometimes arrowheads will wash up from Native Americans over by the white tees. So I haven't found any personally out there, but something I look for every time I go play it, for sure. But anywho, this par 5 is definitely the hole that I thought we would make birdies on nonstop, but it played long and played hard. And
it was tough, dude.
At one point, Joey, you hit a fun tee shot.
Yeah, I hit the clubhouse. And let me tell you, the clubhouse is not in play at all, and I nailed it.
You would have to hit it if you're facing straight, like a 45 degree angle left, and then about 100 yards.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was like a popped up, just lazy, right hand dominant driver, and it like popped up, and I went, oh no. And then, sure enough, you hear, nail the clubhouse. And I was like, oh man. Luckily, I don't even think Tim was in there. Like,
no, Tim was on the golf course.
Yeah, so no one heard it except us three probably. And then, you know, I walked up there, tried to look for it, but that was my first lost ball of the day. Actually, both lost balls were on that hole.
Yeah, the other one was a fun one.
Yeah, well, it's not lost. I can technically go get it today because it's in the, what do you call those? The
sinkhole.
Sinkhole, yeah. This is big old sinkhole in
you
the middle of the fairway.
You just needed that suction cup.
Yeah, exactly. I needed the suction cup on my putter. Yeah, I hit a nice little, I think this is like, yeah, this was the third to last hole. And Matt and I are, you know, deep in our match. And, you know, I hit a terrible drive, kind of similar to my clubhouse one, but didn't hit the clubhouse. And I hit this really good 3-iron, just like punch out. And I saw it rolling like right down the center. But I was far enough back on the hill that it was blind. Like once it got over the hill, I couldn't see it. So then I start walking up and I don't see any balls in like the middle of the fairway. And Matt's like almost on the green already. And I'm like trying to walk, keep up, looking at the sinkhole. And I'm like, I think it went in the sinkhole. Like I really think it did. And I'm looking around and I'm like, Matt, where's my ball? He's like, I didn't see it. And I'm like looking around and I get up to the sinkhole and I look in. Sure enough, Cirque's on 4. Sitting right there, and I was like, you have got to be kidding. When I told Matt, he didn't even believe me. He's like, no, it's not. It's like, it is. It
looked like a tunnel to Stranger Things or something.
Oh, dude.
Like to the underworld.
It was spooky because, yeah.
It was the last time we played that hole.
Yeah.
So that's why it was just unbelievable that it happened.
Almost dark, too. And like, I didn't know if I would be able to get it out, and I tried because I could reach it at first, but there was no way to get it out with my wedge. And then it fell deeper when I dropped it. So.
It was pretty deep.
Yeah. We gave him a free drop.
Yeah, free drop. So that was a tough hole, though. I mean, I think I maybe had a birdie putt twice. I don't know if it shows how difficult the hole is or how bad I am.
It just played a long way, you know? And I think walking up that hill, you're pretty tired by the time you get to your second shot. And again, theme of the day, you know, your third shot's typically a little 30-yard pitch or a chip. And it's just these greens are tiny and hard to score on.
It is, yeah. When you think about it, yeah, you're coming off that hill on 7. If for your tee shot, so you're in like a weird physical state. And then for your second shot, you're just now after walking up that hill. So it's like boom, boom, right off the bat, like on that hole, you're struggling for air.
Hole 9, finishing hole on the loop, slight dog leg left, par 4 with plenty of room out to the right. To the left is the cart barn and the maintenance facility, and the clubhouse is off in the distance off to the left. So you don't want to be left, obviously. It's uphill, so it'll, you know, it's a climb back up the hill, basically. We all played it pretty well. What I can remember from the hole is the first 9, I made like a 10-footer to save par, and it's like, all right, I'm going to get it going. And then the very next time around, could see the dew line and had a putt that was pretty much twice the length and hit it on the same line and it went in. So it was back to back using the dew lines as a read. Mm-hmm. That was pretty cool to see the dew as we had played round after round after round. It took about 3 rounds before the dew fully burnt off, so we were able to see all the different putts rolled in and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was pretty cool watching that go in twice. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I also was left of the road on that hole on the last 9 when we were playing. I almost hit Tim in the cart and pointed out where my ball was and had to punch back over the road. So your guys' match coming down to the last couple holes, Joey, you were up by 4 with 4 to play, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And what was going through your head? Did you feel you made a super strong charge about midway through the day?
Yeah.
Because Matt was up
playing well. And I mean, it really came down to like just like the putts. I mean, because like we were in pretty much the same spots all day, like hitting it fine, but it's just putts weren't dropping. And that was the shift of it. But 4 up, 4 to play. So I think 6 it would be with that 4 to play. And I think Matt went right. You went left and then went right. I went left like I always did on 6. And I just had this like, it's not like an easy punch, but it's not a difficult punch. And I just topped it like 10 yards.
Fatigue was starting to set in, or had been set in.
Fatigue was there. Yeah, I topped it like 10 yards. And I think that's where I lost a stroke to Matt. And then I was 3 up with 3 to play. But then I think
Matt 3 putted.
Yeah.
On the par 3.
Yeah.
He hit the green.
The par 3 is where I got the stroke back.
You got up and down, right?
Yeah, I think I did. Yeah.
You were left and then you hit this pretty great pitch shot to about a foot.
And I gave you the putt.
It was good. And then Matt had like a 15 footer for a birdie.
Yeah.
And 3 putted. So gave you a stroke there. He could have put his foot down, but I think he got a little bit psyched out by seeing your chip just roll up to a foot.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, what? No.
It was demoralizing.
Because the cup was like, on a back to front slope.
Yeah.
And he just hit it so softly. It hit into the slope and like killed it and ran right up there. I was like, you gotta be kidding.
Coming in clutch. I put on my Cam Newton jersey for the final 9. That was.
Yeah, you did.
Brought a little good vibes my way, even though he's not playing, but I figured I'd get that energy. Yeah, I mean, final few holes were good. And then 8, like we already talked about, yanked my drive. It was pretty bad. And then sinkhole.
Yeah, and I was up there by the green because I was lying too. I was like ready to like birdie this and like get a stroke. I was like, you just stay back there, Joey. Like, whatever you're doing, just keep doing it.
Yeah, but yeah, I think that's when I lost another stroke to you.
So you should have lost 2 because I think you doubled it and I bogeyed it.
Yeah, you did miss a knee knocker. Yeah.
Any putting coaches out there in Raleigh? Just
yeah.
Let me know.
Going into the 99th hole, Matt still had a chance. It was number 9, the par 4. Matt was on in 2. Hit it. Oh, yeah, you hit.
That's where
I flushed that 8-iron. Yeah.
Flushed the 8-iron to 10 feet.
Now I was in the front where you made those 2 long putts.
Gotcha.
In the
beginning. See, like 25 feet.
Where I pumped my drive, but it went a little left. And that's, I chipped out, hit a rock, dented my 7-iron.
Yeah, Joey like hit a root in a rock, like 2 different items, and it rocketed his ball to like the front of the green, and he just like pitched up and 2 putted. And I was like, you gotta be shitting me.
My 7-iron.
Joey made bogey.
My 7-iron took the beating there.
And Matt could have gained at least a stroke. Could gain 2, and he was down 3 at this point.
Yeah.
And then he 3 putts it. So going into the final hole.
3 up. Yeah.
3 up.
And
everyone just
I pumped it left again, double cross right into the trees. And then you...
I sprayed mine right. Yeah, like right, at that point, my right. left knee was just that was, like,
you took his three wood, right?
Oh, I took his three wood because I got up to the tee and I was like, dude, I have an eight iron in my hand. And I did not want to walk back the 15 yards. And he just handed me this
I noticed,
wood that I had not hit before.
I looked like, back and whatever. I saw you had like a wood in your hand. And I was like,
I saw you look and I wanted to be like, I don't even ask. And
I was like, oh, it might not be legal.
Yeah, I if I birdied it, you would have called bullshit.
Oh, I probably would have, yeah. But at this point, I was like, whatever. Like,
yeah. Just, yeah, the match was pretty much over. I didn't want to make him walk back to get his three.
I just looked at it, looked at him, and he just handed it to me.
And then as soon as you hit, too, I was like, I don't think that was good. So I'll just keep walking. I'll let him do it.
It was not good. I was playing at a nine fairway, and yet I hit over these tall pines, like a 185 shot. Which I was there before, and I did the same thing. Just try and put up my front foot and loft it over.
Yeah.
I was successful. It was on the other side of the trees. I didn't find it until y'all walked up to it.
Yeah, I didn't think mine had went as far as it did. And yeah, yours was right up in front of the green. Yeah, I bogeyed, you parred or something. So you got
I bogeyed,
I doubled.
Yep.
Yeah, and you got a shot back, and it was over by then. So two up, and Tim came and gave us a ride in. Cause
Savior. Yeah. Seeing him roll down the fairway.
Yeah. I don't think there's any way we're going to be able to walk back to the clubhouse.
Oh, no. Because we were debating, too. We're like, which hole should we play as our 100th? Because 11 nines is 99. It's like, well, shit, we got one more.
We picked the longest par four on the course.
Lengthy walk back. And luckily, yeah, Tim came out and saved the day.
Long day. 7 a.m. to 7 p.m.
Yeah.
Give or take a couple minutes.
It was like, yeah, 7:20 something. Which to me, I mean, whenever we were talking about it and doing the averages of holes per hour, I think we pegged it at trying to do it in like 9.5 hours, 10 hours.
10 hours, yeah.
And then it took 12 and a half. 12?
Yeah, I think that when it hit like crazy. 11 a.m., 12 p.m., I was like, man, we could maybe finish this by like 6.
Yeah, we did 54 holes and it was 12:30.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, we're cruising.
Yeah, it was like
I told Tim originally, like in the morning, I was like, yeah, it looks like we're gonna get done around 4:35. And then the second half, it was a physical and mental test to just keep walking and then swing and then keep walking.
And you're also, I mean, for Joey and I, like thinking about our strokes too, like, okay, I'm gonna take a little bit, maybe extra time.
And then you're worrying about the other player too. It's like, hey, what are you putting for?
Yeah,
like,
what are you putting for?
You're trying to figure that out.
Yeah, it was kind of nice not have to worry about score too much for me.
We still don't know what Luke's score is, by the way, y'all.
So. Yeah, it is.
I'm the only one here with my scorecard in front of me.
Mine's here. It's on my telephone.
You guys had some. My highest 18 was 86, and I believe you guys were.
They don't need to.
Yeah. Yeah. Think you sure we want to go into scorecards?
Yeah. What was your lowest nine?
81. It was pretty bad.
No, lowest nine.
Oh, lowest nine. 39. Yeah, pretty sad.
I think my lowest was like 40 or 41.
40.
I think I averaged 36 putts at least.
Yeah.
My lowest 18 was 84.
I think that was mine too.
I had like 3 42s in a row, a 40 and then 3 42s in a row.
Yeah.
It wasn't great golf, but no. Consistent.
We, I guess, 100 holes and less than 500 strokes, so just under five strokes a hole.
I take it.
What was the hardest part of it for you guys?
Oh, man.
It was, I mean, toward the later part of the last three rounds, it was walking down that hill at 7.
Yeah, that hurt.
That really hurt. And I was like, okay. I feel like I have a high pain tolerance, but that was rough. And then you got that, you have to smoke a tee ball on that par five if you want to have any shot at getting on in like two or three or two even.
What would you do differently next time?
I would bring all the braces I got. I did have an ankle brace, but. That and moleskin. Any like hikers out there? Have you all heard of moleskin before? It's this felt, really sticky material that you put on the back, you know, wherever you get hot spots. And I had that when I did this backpacking trip and did not get a single blister. And like, this stuff is so sticky. I mean, it would stay on for like 2 days, 2.5 days. Mm-hmm. You know, you're sweating in these boots and wool socks and everything. It would probably be just prepare and load up on moleskin in these hot spots.
I think, yeah, for me, like when Matt had told me about like these long strides, that helped me a lot. Cause I mean, like I was jogging and running, which helped, but I mean, when you're on hole 85 and you just cannot jog anymore, like just taking bigger steps. Cause I don't know if I said it on the podcast or not, but like I'm a small guy. I take small steps. So these little steps just add up and it's putting a lot of stress on your knees and your feet and your ankles. And these long strides really kind of, you think about your walking form way more, how you should be walking. And looking back too, I might've taken like less clubs, maybe emptied my bag just a little bit because I had, you know, just some snacks and food that I didn't eat all of. So just unnecessary weight. I think that was the biggest thing for me, is maybe lighten the load and or just, yeah, better walking form, or like plan, strategize that a little bit better.
Thinking back on it, I probably have 15 balls in my bag and I lost 2 balls.
You carried 15 balls?
It was just
a lot of weight.
Yeah, it was a lot. I just realized this.
Holy cow. I think I had like 5.
It might not be, it might be 12, but it's a lot.
Oh man, that is a lot.
Well, y'all got me scared
weight.
About losing balls, and then I didn't lose those 2 balls until like the 88th hole. No, 81st hole. It was number 8. 2 strokes back to back.
It was a while, yeah, since you lost a ball. Yeah, you didn't lose any at first.
Yeah. I was really proud about that. The TaylorMade Zero took a beating.
Yeah, it did.
What about you, Luke? What was the hardest part for you?
My feet. I get like the plantar fasciitis pain that you have on the underside as well as my Achilles. That just was stiff for sure. And had that twinging feeling in the bottom of your feet just over and over about halfway through. But I was able to glean back on my other marathons that I've done for, I knew adrenaline was going to kick in and it did. So just kind of like a cramp or something, you work through it and then your body adapts to what's going on. I think no matter who you are, or what kind of shape you're in, you're going to feel pain while doing this. Past like the 54 hole mark, that's when your body is just like, why are you making me go through this torture right now? And it's just this roller coaster of ups and downs. But the more you do it, the more you, I guess, gain the confidence that you're going to do it, and you just do it. It's the biggest thing. The reason why we did this, and you know, it was for a great cause, was to support Youth on Course, which is an organization that is making golf affordable and accessible by attacking the financial barrier for junior golfers. They have people do a 100 hole hike where those can donate and pledge to that pursuit. And, you know, it's an important thing for our golf ecosystem to build up junior golf by, again, making it affordable and available for people to play. The reason why we chose Green Hill, there's multiple reasons, but it is closing down this year, unfortunately. So we're trying to raise awareness and celebrate the history one way or another of this golf course north of Raleigh that's been open for almost 100 years now. And to this day, it is $5 to walk 9 out there. And Tim even said he doesn't even charge juniors when they go, even though it would be, he's like, it's $5 for an adult. So it's one of those places that is very supportive of people wanting to play golf, and you go out there and it feels like home, and there's no dress code. There'll be a sign up half the day that says play, then come back and pay type of deal. It's just a bunch of people that are happy to be around the game of golf and happy that everyone out there is enjoying it. Felt like the right place to do this 100 hole hike for Youth on Course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought so too. It was nice being out there. And like we were talking, that might be the only time that this is ever done out there.
You know, with it being set to close in a month's time, it's pretty special to think back to 1928 and that we played this golf course from sun up to sundown and walked the entire time.
Yeah, I was a little nervous with, so they kept the course open for play the whole time we did it, where normally courses are shut down. It's like a club, yeah, where Mondays are reserved for maintenance. But I will say kudos to Tim and all the folks out there. Like, thank you for letting us play through, because we definitely had to play through. And they like knew that we were coming. Tim and like prepped them all and like made sure that they knew what we were trying to accomplish, and they were cheering us on. That was really cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, everyone was interested and rooting us on and words of encouragement and super friendly, and that was a neat part of it. Will you guys do this again next year?
Yes. I think I would, yeah. Right now it's hard to commit to that answer, but I think once I'm recovered, I'll be ready to go.
Yeah, I think I would. I want another shot at beating Joey.
What about Luke?
And Luke.
Yeah, fat chance, bro. Yeah, that is true. We need to figure out what golf course we're going to make Matt caddy at.
True.
But thanks, everyone, for donating and supporting and rooting us on as we were doing this. Thanks for Youth on Course and helping junior golf. Any last words, guys?
Youth on Course. Go support them.
All right, let's go ice up.
Yeah.
We hope you enjoyed hearing more about our 100-hole hike and supporting Youth on Course. If you did want to donate to the cause, our team page is still active for the month of October. That link is 100holehike.org/national/lionloft, all spelled out. Until next time, keep spreading the good feeling that golf is home.